My salutations to all of you. Om Shri Chinmay Sadgurave Namaha. I was told that you discuss 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita here for 1 hour every Sunday. So I will give a brief summary of Bhagavad Gita and also introduce 10th chapter. And last 15-20 minutes, if there are any questions, then we will take questions from audience. Bhagavad Gita is a text of Vedanta, and Vedanta has very specific topic that it wants to communicate, which is not discussed elsewhere. This is the first thing that we should gather. The scriptural subject matter is something which is unique. And what is the uniqueness? All the other subjects that we study, they talk about various things of life. If you are familiar, with this chart here. Okay, otherwise also, as long as you know this chart. So, most of the other things that we study in life, when we go to school, college, or we gather information from Google, all of that is primarily about these objects, emotions, and thoughts. In other words, it is about worldly subject. Or it talks about the physical body, the psychology, the mind aspect, or intellectually gathering information about things. Which means, it never talks about I. It talks about mine and the world. Not mind, mine, what belongs to me. My car, my house, my body, my relations, my possessions, my position, my title, etc. And there we are busy gathering things, getting rid of things, adding things, dropping things, etc. Vedanta has very unique purpose in that Vedanta is interested in telling me about myself, and when Vedanta says you, it is not interested in telling about the body, mind, intellect, etc., which is what I think I am. And this is the real difference in the subject matter of Vedanta and the other subjects. So Vedanta focuses on the true nature of mind, the real I. And to come to that, sometimes I go through the text once, twice, thrice, and then I figure out, oh, this is what is said here. In other words, you and I, we have some idea about ourselves. Vedanta says, let me tell you who you are. So we have one identity which is given to us by the society or which we have assumed on our own. And Vedanta comes and corrects that identity. So, until that happens, according to Vedanta, there is no end to my problems. Sorrows will not end until that identity is corrected. And therefore, primarily, Vedanta is not interested in correcting my identity. Vedanta is interested in making me free from sorrow. And assuming that we have tried all the other things in life to get rid of sorrow, and successfully we have failed in eliminating sorrow, therefore we are embarking upon the study of scriptures. So the objective is very clear. And somewhere in my mind, if I feel that, no, I don't need this, I can do it some other way, scriptures, they say, go ahead, feel free. when you feel comfortable, only then you become dedicated student of Vedanta. But the solution that I am looking for, I will find here when I correct my identity. And Bhagavad Gita is one such text. It is also a text of Vedanta. So, purpose of Bhagavad Gita is the same, revealing my true identity. So, when we study Bhagavad Gita, when you have your session, your attention should always be on how my new identity is introduced to me through these teachings. To make it more simple, let's say there is somebody whose name is John. Scriptures come and tell you are not John. You are consciousness. When it is expressing through this body, it is given a name, John. So that correcting the identity is what the scriptures are trying to do. Okay. Now, how Bhagavad Gita handles it? So first we talked about Vedanta. Now we talk of Bhagavad Gita in particular. Then we will come to 10th chapter. Bhagavad Gita has twofold teachings, if you want to call. One, of course, is giving me my right identity. Along with that, since I am an individual who is going to continue to interact in this world with a lot of people, how I can refine my personality, polished personality. But this polishing is not happening at body level, because this, we are very good at that. We can immerse ourselves into cleaning our body with nice soaps, shampoos. After that is then applying all the creams so that everything is wonderful and shining. And once that is done, then inside also we are very clear about how to keep the body pure. So for the cleanliness within, we eat all healthy food. We go to Trader Joe's or Whole Foods and buy a lot of wonderful stuff, organic food. All of this, we are taking care of this personality, physical personality. So Bhagavan doesn't see, the Lord does not see any need to elaborate on that point. And the other is this personality, intellectual, which is in the form of gathering information. Going to school, college, universities, master's degree, doctorate's degree, gather that. And after that also, knowledge of so many things in the world. So we want to have that knowledge at our fingertips. Anyone will ask any question? There you go. Google has everything. So intellectually, we are loading ourselves with all information, and there also we are very happy. That knowledge also can be twofold. One is knowledge of the world. Second is knowledge of religion and scriptures. That also we can memorize and gather a lot of information. Somebody says, what is this stanza? Here you go. You can quote left and right. But the personality which needs to develop along with all that is my mind. It is this mind where there is roughness in the form of passion, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, strong likes and dislikes. Cannot stand someone, cannot work with someone. So we may have perfect body and we may have tons of information in our intellect. But if that mind is not tuned, polished, nobody would want to interact with me. They'll say, I am fine, let them be there where they are. So, that is not the sign of an individual who is learning the scriptures. So, in Bhagavad Gita, that aspect is also dealt with. And what is that? How I can reduce these things in my life, the mental disturbance in the form of desire, anger, hatred, etc. And how I can cultivate devotion, love for the Lord. That is also taken care of in Bhagavad Gita. And the 10th chapter that you are discussing, it falls in that group of stanzas which talk of devotion to God. How many of you are regularly attending the discourse, 10th chapter discussion? Raise your hand. So, fairly good number. So, you have studied the earlier chapters also, and they all discuss about the nature of God. Nature of God. So, in the beginning, we have idea that God means this picture or this statue. And scriptures tell us this is the nature of God. Just as scriptures correct our identity, scriptures are also giving the identity of what God is. And, of course, that is the understanding that we are supposed to carry with us about God also. So, as you have seen, you start with devotion to one form of the Lord, but then eventually start loving everything. So, in 10th chapter, God says that you understand everything has come from me, and therefore you cannot have anger over anything. You cannot have hatred or dislike for anything. And because everything is from me, your likes also for everything, your taste or love for everything also cannot be biased love. So in this way, Lord explains his nature and how to minimize these kinds of disturbances by maintaining a vision of equanimity. This is the idea. And then gradually, Lord says, you start seeing me everywhere. So, which is what you are doing right now. See me in various glories or glorious things, like in mountain, in river, in sun, in moon, in ocean, etc. So, as that vision expands, I can cut down on my mental disturbances, the roughness that I have, and that mind becomes polished mind. Such an individual, when discovers his true nature as his self, then that person will have beautiful mind. I don't know if you know, there was a movie called Beautiful Mind. So, they will have beautiful mind and they will have true identity of their own. This is what is expected from Bhagavad Gita or study of Bhagavad Gita. So, beautiful body, that we are, as I said, we don't need to worry. Information overload is already there. But that information should bring transformation. And that is the purpose why we are studying, and it is not studying as in gathering informations, that I am sincere seeker and I am interested in changing my personality. If there are any weaknesses, if there are any trouble areas, I want to fix them. That commitment should be our commitment. Okay. Now, one question may come in this. The question is, if I am not this body, mind, intellect, but I am the self, then why should I be interested in improving or correcting that mind? Anyway, that's not me. Let it be the way it is. Many times people think this way. So understand, if that mind is disturbed mind. Disturbed mind does not mean anyone who walks in, you throw something, that's why that's the sign of disturbance. Disturbed mind is mind which is not relaxed. Even sitting here, if I am not at peace, I have restlessness that, oh, I dropped the kids here. Now it's 11:25 and I have to wait. As soon as the class is over, I will pick them up, then we'll go here, then we'll do this. Sitting here, I am not really here. And this is why we are not able to enjoy anything. Then, even if I have studied more and more texts and I have gone through entire Bhagavad Gita a couple of times also, I am not able to enjoy. There is no peace. And that is what I should be looking for. So, Bhagavad Gita says, this is what we are trying to provide to you. And that will not happen unless I improve this mind. That is required. So, that specific goal is to be achieved. And you can see, you know, when there is agitation or something that is bothering me, I will never be at ease. So, Bhagavad Gita is addressing this twofold challenge or issues. One is correcting my identity, and second is beautifying my mental personality. And of course, mental personality will be improved when I gather right understanding about how to beautify that mind. Beautified mind means relaxed mind. So, to give more worldly example, if there is a student who is told that tomorrow you have test, and if he has already studied everything for test, then he is relaxed. So, 9 o'clock, if they say, you want to go to sleep, he says yes, he is ready to sleep. And the student who has not prepared, he is up until 1 o'clock, reading this, reading this. Why? Earlier nothing was done. So that relaxed mind is this, who has prepared everything. That's what we need to gather. So, Bhagavad Gita has that as the key point. So, twofold teaching. Correcting my identity and improving the mind, which in other words is called gathering qualities, values, purity. Different words are used, but the essential thing is the mind is focused. How I can have improved, better mind, relaxed mind. Okay. So, this is in general the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Now, in 10th chapter, how devotion to Lord is expressed. So, it is said Lord is the cause of this creation. Cause of this creation means He alone appears or expresses as this world. And therefore, I should be able to see God in all these things. Now we say, I cannot see God in anyone. That is where I am right now. So we are told, okay, you take this statue or a picture. Can you see God here? Because that statue is not going to question me, is not going to say, don't do this or do this. Silently it is going to observe. So we say, there I can see God. As long as he does not interfere with my life, I have no problem. Then slowly we start appreciating and accepting people around. So our acceptance level goes up. And then whatever that is described in the 10th chapter. What is that? In the beginning, you have already covered those stanzas. God says that if somebody becomes my devotee, I will make sure that he will get the self-knowledge. Means if somebody has started improving the mind, then I will make sure that they will get the right identity of themselves. And how that will happen? He says, I will send teacher in their life. I will send scriptures in their life. And I will give them time to study. That is also important. Teacher may be there, scriptures may be there, but our complaint is, we don't have time. So say, time also we will provide you. When you get time, then don't say, oh, I have too much time and I don't know what to do. So when there is time, then you study. So, self-knowledge will come. And you can see this in the life of great sages also. You know, that they had so much devotion, then the knowledge was imparted to them through different teachers. Okay. So this 10th chapter is otherwise known as Vibhuti Yoga, where glories of God are described. So how wonderful this life that we see around should be seen as expression of God Himself. Okay. So this is what I want to say about Bhagavad Gita and 10th chapter in particular. And after that, Bhagwan, the Lord, continues to talk more about individual expressions, which is what you are looking at right now. And then he changes the message a little bit. In 10th chapter, the idea is to see God in everything. And in 11th chapter, the idea is to see everything in God. I will repeat those two. In 10th chapter, the idea is to see God in everything. And in 11th chapter, the idea is to see everything in God. And you know, the beautiful example for this is to see all the waves as water is 10th chapter. And 11th chapter is to see all the waves in ocean, which is nothing but water. So 10th chapter is to recognize water in waves. 11th chapter is to recognize waves in water. So when we understand these, then we know there is nothing but water alone. Like that, 10th and 11th chapter, they try to address this and tell us, recognize that there is God alone here, appearing in this way. So these twofold, these two chapters put together, they reveal presence of God in and around us. Everything here is nothing but that truth, that God principle. And how it is present? So it is said, it is present as the existence. It is present in all. It supports all. It is the inner essence of all. It is not known by those things, those objects. Just to give another example, like electricity and bulb. Our Gurudev used to give this example. So how electricity supports the bulb, but the bulb cannot know the electricity because it is the cause of it. Like that, extroverted mind and intellect cannot know the self. To know the self, we have to turn our attention means with quiet mind, we should reflect on the teaching of the self. That is called turning the attention to the self. That is how we can recognize our identity. Okay. So this is the main teaching of 10th, 11th chapter. Okay, now I will take questions. If people have any questions or anything that you want to ask, say, feel free. So you don't have to treat them equal in the sense that you take example of the Lord himself, right? He taught this Bhagavad Gita and he told Arjuna, now you fight with Kauravas. And when it came to taking sides, he said, I will be on one side. Pretty much he said, I will be on that side where I want to be. And that side will win. And the other side will lose. So, in the world, when you are interacting, you recognize that oneness in all, and that is existence. Now, if there is somebody who is evil, you have to treat that person as what is required there. So, if somebody can be converted through love, then you use that. But if you see that somebody is taking advantage or they are not changing their ways and you need to be a little tough, then you be that. It also depends on what is your nature. If your nature is that I am going to show that person, then even externally if you have heard, you know, that no, see God in everyone, you may smile at that person and internally you are grinding your teeth that I want to break the head of this person. So it will not be possible to accept that here is a person who is expression of God and therefore I have to love this person. Because that is not your nature yet. So then you do what is right and you follow your dharma. I will give you more common example. For one man, his mother is there in the house, his wife is there in the house, his sister is there in the house, his daughter is there in the house. Now he is told, you have to see God in everyone. When he sees God in everyone, he is not going to forget that here is God in the form of mother, and here is God in the form of wife, and God in the form of sister and daughter. So, whatever appropriate transaction he is expected to do with them, that is not going to change. Right? So that he will keep in mind. But if somebody says something, he is not going to be as disturbed. And that is the success you can see here at mental level. Because that mind is where the reaction comes. So if he is very balanced, if he has digested the teaching well, he will be able to take it in the right way. So our sharp reactions or anger, etc. that we have, that they won't have. That is the greatness. And to handle different situations as they come without losing the calmness. Because everyone will have different situations. Actually, that is what, you know, all our scriptures also talk about. That Lord Rama, for example. So, he lived in forest for such a long time. He had gone through many difficulties. So, life is never going to be easy. And when the demons come, he doesn't say, oh, I am God, he is God. Why to kill demon? He said, no, take arrow and shoot. So that he is expected to do. But to that demon also, he says, I will give you my abode. I will give you liberation. So that hatred has not come. This is something that we should learn in our dealings also. Okay. Any other question?
I think one of the things was that how to make our thinking from extroverted to introverted, because we are all...
How to change our thinking from extroverted to introverted. So what do we mean by extroverted and introverted first? Right? Our eyes what are they supposed to see? What is in front of them? Not what is behind. So if I want to turn my eyes inwards, it'll be scary. So introverted means recognizing the self in whatever I experience. Extroverted means recognizing the matter aspect in whatever I experience. This is a simple way of defining. When I look at you, when I interact with you, what is it that naturally I look at? Your body. But when I am interacting, it is the body plus life there. Body without life is of no use. So what is becoming introvert? When you see the world, you see divinity right there. Now the question is how? How to see that? So first thing is, you learn from scriptures, right, that God is present in everything because he is the material cause of this creation. So that learning I should keep with me. The teaching that will tell me, look here, to see divinity in everything. This is one thing. Do you go to eye doctors, ophthalmologists? You go sometimes, right? Then you know what they do. They will ask you to sit in a chair, like how I am sitting right now. Then in the olden days, they used to give one big screen in front. Then they will say, read. So you will read Z, M, P, G, T, Q, R, something, some alphabets will be there all over. Read, 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 read. Then he'll say, can you read this line? Now, his objective there is not to see whether you have passed the kindergarten or not. Because in kindergarten itself, you learn all the alphabets. So his objective is not to see, can you read Z, P, G, T, whatever is there. Then he knows that you are probably a doctor sitting there. What he wants to do is, through reading external things, he wants to detect the internal health of eyes. So even though your attention is outside, your thought process is of inside, right? When you read something, he wants to see or check the health of your eyes. That is what he is interested in. Like that, when we look at the world, are we able to shift our attention and think of the self or Atma? So if we can do that, then we are able to shift our attention. That is called introvertedness. If that is not possible, then what we should do is slowly add some spiritual practices in life. Remember, reading scriptures is by itself not going to remove the extrovertedness. Because extrovertedness is in this mind, and I need to work on that. So I have to sit down. I have to take up some meditative practices and try to shift my attention there. Take some exercise, for example, like take a painting. On that painting, like here you see. So if I say, what am I touching now? So you say, Lord. What am I touching now? Horse. What am I touching now? Arrows. Ground. Right? Now if you change your thinking And you say, what am I touching now? Cloth. 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 So what I am touching is the essence behind these paintings. So I have not changed where my hand was. I have just changed the thinking. That is what is required. World is not going to differ. World is not going to change. Everything is going to remain the same. Only how I look at things will be different. So from extroverted to introverted, what I have to do is, what is there, but what is not obvious, that I should bring it out. And it is an exercise that I will have to do. Right? So this is how gradually a person will become introverted. And of course, if there are things, you know, like, let's say I want to watch, I love to watch 2 hours of TV every day. But I have decided I have to be introverted. So what should I do? Okay, you watch 1 hour of TV and 1 hour you watch some spiritual DVD. So you are still looking at TV, but along with entertainment, there is enlightenment. Then somebody, oh, I love to use my iPod, you know, I have a latest one now, or I want to listen to something. You listen to, 50% of the time you listen to all the other worldly thing. 50% of the time you listen to some other discourses. So slowly add spirituality in your life. And then that teaching will tell you how to turn your attention to the self. These are some ways. Now, depending on where the individual is, more things also can be gathered. Okay. One last question we can take. So, when you say father, mother, brother, sister, or anyone, those individuals, they are life expressed there with that body, right? And without life, that body has no value, right? When I say I love you, or you love me or not, all those things when we say, that love is present when there is life. The moment life goes away, then we say this body can go now, right? So what we value there is life, not that body or person without life. That life is expression of God. This God alone, when expresses through these equipments, is called life. For example, electricity, when expressing through this tube light, is called light, right? So if somebody says, is there power here or not? So what do? We turn on the light. Right? Oh, light is there. Therefore, power is there. So the light is not electricity. The air blown from the fan is not electricity. But it is expression of electricity, which is what I am able to appreciate through the instruments. So I appreciate God through life in people. So like how when air is there, so I feel good, you know. When warmth is there, I feel good. When rain is there, I feel good. So there God is present there also. Because it gives me joy. All those things when I see, there is great joy in it. So God is present in all these things. When you see beautiful flower, when you see a child playing, when you see fresh vegetables, fruits, then there is life there. And that alone can nourish life in our body. Okay. Yes. Yes, it is possible. Your mind, when it gets transformed to such an extent where even negative things can be seen from positive standpoint. For example, to give simple example, right? Garbage in our kitchen. Yeah? So it is negative thing and we don't want it. But you have to gather it every day. Big trash is there. And then you pack the whole thing and you say, okay, now let go of this. But without that, we cannot live. In the sense, that trash bag is needed to gather all those things. In the same way, in society also, if there is evil or negativity, and we look at it, we feel bad about it, then it needs to be corrected to the best possible way we can do it. So if there is something that we can do, we should do. And if there is something that we cannot do, then we should pray that, oh Lord, you take care of this, since you are expressing through all this. Sometimes, to our children, our own children, we say, I'm trying to tell you, can't you understand? And that child says, no, I will do whatever I want. Now, you tried your best to teach, but that child doesn't learn. Then what do you say? God, now you take care of this. So, evil does not mean only evil in the form of somebody killing or somebody doing some violent thing. Evil can be in any way. Any negative thing, if it is there, you try to correct it. And then you say, okay, maybe God's will is like this, that he wants somebody to suffer and then learn a lesson. So be it. So if you think that, you are vulnerable to that risk, and by you staying away, if you can be protected, and if that is your personality, then you do that. You see, there are individuals with different personalities, right? There are some individuals who say, I am going to enter into this and fix this. They are administrative type personality. They cannot sit quietly. So then they better get involved. So different people will have different temperament. Okay. I think we will conclude our topic, right? Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.